Thank you, Lord. Oh, Lord, we give you praise. We give you praise. We give you praise. Receive our worship. Receive, oh God, our adoration. Receive, oh God. Mande mashika tata bahaka. Rando no boko tole breke tete. Ki kalado sokato lo bushaya. Kareke tete tele broko lo. Mando lo boseke tete. Oh God, be glorified, be exalted, O God, in all the earth, in all the earth, be exalted, be worshipped, be adored, oh, be magnified, O Lord. You deserve the praise, worthy is your name, worthy is your name. Jesus, you deserve the praise, worthy is your name. Thank you, Jesus. Handarabo shike de barakata. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we bless you. We honor you. We magnify you, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Thank you, Lord, for your loving kindness. Thank you, Lord, for your tender mercies. Thank you, Lord, O God, for your care. Thank you, Lord, for your mercies. Thank you, Lord, O God, for your protection, your provision. Above all, thank you, Lord, for our redemption and salvation. It wasn't because of God we deserved anything. But Lord, O God, you elected in your loving kindness and your tender mercies to love us in spite of us, not because of what we're going to give to you, but because of what we will do for you. For you have need of nothing, and you're well capable of doing anything and accomplishing anything you want to accomplish without us. But Lord, in your loving kindness and your tender mercies, you elected to bring us into the family, make us one with you. You, the God who called us out of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of your dear Son, we are convinced will keep us through this age and every age to come. Thank you, Father, for eternal life and for the embrace of your everlasting love. You deserve all the praise. You're worthy, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You deserve the praise. Worthy is your name. Worthy is your name. Jesus, you deserve the praise. Worthy is your name. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so very much. Really appreciate it. This is one of those songs that will never end. You know, you can't, there's no place to stop this song. You just keep on singing it and singing it and singing it. Remember when my children were still young, there used to be a lady that had a program
with a lamb, I think it was. You know, and she used to sing, "This is a song that never ends." Blood drops. This song is like that. It's so anointed. You know, you don't want to stop. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank God for giftings in the body of Christ the grace that God has given to sons and daughters to sing songs that spark the flame of God's glory in our lives. We are studying through the book of Matthew, and we've come to the 24th chapter. And the 24th chapter of Matthew addresses a lot of things about end times. But one of the things I need to share with us as we continue our discuss and study of this particular chapter is to have this understanding that Matthew 24 is not a chapter that gives you chronologically what is going to happen. This is going to happen, and then that's going to happen, and then that's going to happen, and then that's going to happen. And it is very deliberate, and I would be surprised if we had that kind of this A, B, C, D, 1, 2, 3, 4 kind of a progression. Because from what I do see in the Word of God, God doesn't want to give the devil any opportunity to decipher or grasp the timing of his return. And so when you go through Matthew 24, you see the Lord Jesus Christ saying one thing, and he'll go way into the future and deal with something in the future, and then deal with something that's going to happen 30, 40 years from then. But he was talking about all of it as end times. Now, in a real sense, the end times started right after the Lord Jesus Christ died and rose again from the dead. End time started. Amen? It started, you know, way down there. So the disciples, the apostles were, you know, in their day expecting the Lord Jesus Christ to show up right now. So, they lived through that time till now. I thought this was going to happen like yesterday already. Why were we still here? Well, God has his timing. Amen? God has his timing. So he gives us general perspectives on the general timing of when things are going to happen and tells us about the things that will happen during the times of the end times. Now, in understanding the end times, we've got to also understand that there are different end times. Now, what I mean by that is, okay, we're here in Winnipeg. There's, I don't know how many, it's got to be about 700,000, 800,000 people in the general area of Winnipeg. Today was an end time for somebody. Somebody died today. Something happened somewhere. A marriage ended today. A life ended today. A business closed today. But at the same time, something else happened. Somebody may have gotten married today. Somebody may have been born today. A business may have started today. So there is beginnings and endings. And when we come through Matthew chapter 24, we've got to think in those terms, that there are beginnings and endings, and they don't necessarily have to fit with everybody's timing. You know, the person who died today didn't mean that I died. That was their end time. But that's not the end time for me. That's a continuation. You understand? Okay. So when we come to Matthew chapter 24, verse 7 says, for example, it says, "For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be famines and pestilences," or plagues, "and earthquakes in diverse places." We talked about that last week. Now, those things have always happened. So in a real sense, earthquakes, pestilences, you know, there was a Spanish flu that took place about 100 years ago that took out, you know, I don't know how many people, millions of people. Well, you can imagine that those people at that time were thinking, this got to be the end of the world. But we've come 100 years after, and now we're talking about COVID-19. You know, and COVID-19 is not as bad as that one was. Do you understand? In terms of the amount of lives that it claimed. Now, COVID-19, corona disease, might be more infectious, but does that. Now, we have 60,000, 70,000, 80,000, 90,000, 100,000 people and more dying from the flu every year. Just like that. Nobody shut down countries because of that. Are you with me? You know, even now, there's more people that have died from the flu than corona disease, and everybody's talking about this virus. What do you have? I have the flu. Oh, okay. I hope you're treating yourself all right. And we keep on going. Now we've come to a place. Oh, you've got COVID? Oh my. What? Now somebody's telling me that, you know, we're not going to have to shake hands ever again. God forbid bad thing. Something is definitely wrong with you. Well, I say, well, Pastor, you know, why would you say something? Listen, before COVID-19, there was a human race, and it's faced all kinds of stuff. Give yourself a good shake in the head. People are still going to hug each other. You're not going to stop people from being people. They're going to shake hands. If you're doing that, you know, we've got to do all the mitigation right now to understand this virus and, you know, deal with it. You know, yes, things are going to change, you know. I know there's going to be all kinds of fashion statement with our mask. You know, just all kinds of designs. You know, that would be a fashion statement. Whose mask, you know, looks nicer? People are going to just have fun in spite of all of this, because ultimately you can only get people so much afraid, and then they stop being afraid and say, okay, so I'm going to die, so okay, let's go. So, you know, what is that? And that's how things happen. And, you know, earthquake, pestilence, and that's how people are going to start acting. So the Bible says that people are going to harden their heart. They're not going to change. So the idea about pestilences and famines and all of that is not to get people to start getting scared about the end times. It is about people recognizing, you know what? I am so weak and helpless. The ground shakes, and there I go. Some virus comes up, there we go. Agriculture, there we go. Our life is so fleeting, it's so like nothing. So what is my life about? And how can I address the issues of why I am here? Why am I here? What am I here to do? And to cause people to turn their faces towards God. He says, all these things are the beginning of sorrows. It's not the end of the world. It's just the beginning of sorrows. Bad things and worse things are going to happen. He says, then they shall deliver you up to be afflicted. And we talked about this. The then shall they deliver you is not the people of the world, it's the people in the church. People who are supposed to be part of the family of God, who are not in agreement with you concerning your belief and your faith walk, and you think whatever, you know. He says they're going to deliver you, they're going to betray you. He says, and shall kill you. And ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. Now that's a marker. Are we being hated? Well, if you don't know that now. Being a Christian, except in a very few places around the world, is not a very popular thing. The more liberal people are, the more hated Christians are. It's because of you. And I tell you what, I've said it before. You know, I don't think it's going to be another 10. If it goes up to 10 years, I'll be surprised. But your Bible is going to be declared a hate literature. And you carrying it are going to be an outcast as far as the world is concerned. Blamed for everything. Everything that is bad. You know, Christians in the States are going to be blamed for having a president called Trump. Once Trump is out of there, Christians in there in the south of us here, they need to, you know, watch out. The same thing here and around the world. You're going to be hated for his name's sake, because you're going to be somebody who declares the truth. You're going to say what the truth is. You're going to be hated because you stand for something. And the reality is this: if you're going to be hated anyway, stand for something. You're going to be hated. Stand for something and let people know what you stand for. There should be no secret disciples in the kingdom of God. Every one of us should be, you know, they should be able to prosecute you and find you guilty of being a Christian. Amen? Jesus, our Lord, said, that's going to be a sign of the world. He says, and then shall many be offended. Why are they offended? They are offended because of whatever is happening to them. They're offended. They feel scandalized by all the happenings around them. In fact, that word offended is the word scandalizo. And you can hear that word scandal. You know, so many will be offended, will be scandalized, scandalized from within, scandalized from without. People are going to do different things. You know, I remember, you know, when this COVID thing started, when they reduced the number to 50, I was talking to a minister, and he said, you're going to be having services? Oh, yeah, I said, why not? We allowed 50 people. I had already gotten the place ready. You know, taking down anything that will, so that we can spread ourselves real good. And I said, well, they're going to be shaming people that have services. I said, so? Shaming me because I have a service? Go ahead, help yourself. If you're shaming me, I have to be ashamed for you to be able to shame me. If I'm not ashamed, fool it to you. I'm standing for something. I am not a non-essential. Are we shaming the people who are at the grocery store? No. But this is better bread, the word of God. So I'm going to open up. If they allow me 10, 10 it is. If they allow me 5, 5 it is. I'm going to still stream and I'm going to do all of that, but you are not going to stop me from having a service, period. Well, if you say, shut everything down, well, that's a different story. Then I have every reason to stream from my home or whatever, you know, because that's the natural law. But the day you tell me that I should serve Satan directly or indirectly, that's the day I refuse to obey you, because I've given to Caesar what belongs to Caesar. And if you are not doing what God says, I don't have to listen to you. Throw me in jail. Do whatever you want to do. That's not going to stop me. You throw me in jail. While I'm in jail, I'm going to be preaching the gospel there. You put me in isolation. Any which way. I know how to pray. Hallelujah. You know, there's no way to stop a child of God when you know that this is going to happen. The word of God says many are going to be offended. My decision is not to be offended. I am not going to be offended. It says, and shall betray one another. It is not strangers that betray you. It's people that are around you that betray you. So, I already know that somebody close to me is going to betray me. So why am I getting upset? I'm not going to waste my time getting upset about that. For what reason? What's the purpose of that? It's already said that will happen. If it doesn't happen, then God's word is a lie. But if it happens, it already qualified me that I'm standing somewhere. And it says, and shall hate one another. Okay, hating one another is not part of my DNA. That's not part of God's calling on my life. So I make the decision, I am not going to hate. I'm going to love instead. But I understand that there's going to be hatred. People are going to hate. He says, and many false prophets shall rise. And we talked about that last week. False prophets doesn't necessarily mean saying something and it didn't come true. While it means that, false prophet more means this, doing something that God has not called you to do. You're a false prophet. You know, God says to you, go do that, and you're doing that. That's false. So every one of us needs to know what our lane is, what God has called us to. God has not called me to teach on evolution. That's not my calling. I don't know the first thing about this or that concerning that. I just have general perspectives. But there are people who know those details. For me as a pastor to come here and start giving you information on evolution and, you know, pour out information that has no consequence or anything, have no meaning to anything, and you can poke holes at, that's false prophecy. That's declaring something that you've not been assigned to. I remember many years ago, the Lord told me he didn't want me preaching. I was in teacher training college at the time. I said, why don't you want to preach? He said, because you don't know what you're talking about. I said, what do you mean? I don't know what I'm talking about. At that time in the 70s, you know, all we talked about then was end times. End times. Everything was end times, end times, end times. The Lord says to me, you don't know what you're talking about. I said, but I'm saying the same thing like all these American preachers. He says, they don't know. I don't want to mention the names, not to offend anybody. They don't know what they're talking about, and you don't know what you're talking about. Shut up until I teach you. Wow. It only lasted about 2 weeks, and I got back. Couldn't help myself. I wanted to preach so much. And, you know, cut a long story short, God dealt with that and began to teach me. Amen? So, don't go doing stuff God hasn't called you to do. That's false prophecy. That's false declaration. And sometimes false declarations is people saying, God said this, and God sent me to do this, and God said I should do that. And if God hasn't said it, then it's a false statement. He says, and many will be deceived. So if many are going to be deceived, then whatever it is that they are saying sounds so true that it gets people deceived. So then, we must buckle down and say, God, deliver me from anything that will cause me to be deceived. Because a person who is deceived many times really doesn't know that they are deceived. Deceived people don't know they are deceived. It goes on. And because of iniquity, wrong patterns, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. The love of many shall wax cold. What is that? That means that because of allowing sinful patterns to come into people's lives, their love for God will wax cold. It will cool down. Why is that important? The Lord says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. So when you see people not keeping the commandments of God, you have a situation where their love is wax cold. It's no longer hot. They are becoming lukewarm. And the Lord says, I will spit those kind of people out of my mouth. Now, I know definitely that's not where I want to be, have my love waxing cold. So therefore, I must do everything to make sure that the flame of love for God is stronger every day. I must push against anything that wants me to go cold. In fact, I'd rather be a fanatic than somebody that is cold. Do you understand? You know, go overboard on the good than allow yourself to be cooled down and become somewhere in the middle. Stand for something. And the thing about this is that so many believers are not standing for something. They are daily piping down a little bit at a time. The degree is dropping. It's dropping. It's dropping. It's dropping. It's dropping. It's dropping. One thing after the other. Well, because of this, let's do this. Because of this. Because of this. And surely their love begins to wax cold. The Lord says, now, watch, all of this are part of the end time declarations. But he that shall endure, outlast all of the pressure to cool down, outlast all the pressure to begin to water down the word of God, outlast the pressure to say something that God is not saying. He that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. Wait a minute. The same shall be saved. Weren't they saved before? The same shall be saved. Shall be saved. So you mean if I don't endure to the end, I'm not going to be saved? Well, if your love is waxing cold, he already said, I'm going to spit you out. It is not how you start that matters, it's how you finish. There are so many people who start well and finish wrong. And it's imperative that I identify that and not attach myself to that. Because what you are, if somebody's cooling down and you're hot and you join yourself with them, your temperature is going to cool down. It is the negative that will pull you down. Haggai talks about it, says, if you've got holy stuff on you and you touch something that's unholy, would that unholy thing become holy? And the prophet said, no. But when you touch that which is unholy, will that which is holy become unholy? He says, yeah. And that's why we have to be very careful what we attach ourselves to. Because you think you're trying to help something. No, no, no. You're not helping anything. You got to preserve your spiritual awareness and not allow yourself to become poisoned or adulterated or corrupted by what the enemy is trying to cook up, because it has to do with salvation. Amen? The same shall be saved. The word is sozo, is the same word for salvation. And then it says, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. The end comes when the gospel is preached to all nations. By whom? By men and women who refuse to be offended, by men and women whose love did not wax cold, by men and women who did not allow iniquity to channel their lives. They chose righteousness, chose the truth, and pursued it even unto death. Amen? It didn't matter. You know, I can only die once. Praise the Lord. What shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? Nothing. The believer must be so disciplined in his commitment to the Lord that they cannot be threatened by anything natural. You cannot threaten them, I'm going to take all your stuff away, and I'm going to bankrupt you, and I'm going to kill you, I'm going to torture you. There are people, Hebrews says, that were sawn in two. Cut into two. They decided, oh no. Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego thrown into the furnace, and the furnace was heated up seven times more. And they still did not deny. And God saved them in. He didn't save them out of it, prevent them from going in, but within the crisis, there God showed himself strong. Daniel is in the lion's den. God did not protect him from it, but protected him in it. Praise the Lord. Every one of us must be so committed to the Lord that there is nothing that the enemy will do that would deter us from living the life that glorifies God, because we know that he's faithful who's promised. Hallelujah. He says the gospel is going to be preached for a witness. Now that's an amazing statement, for a witness. What does that mean? It means that everybody's got to hear it and have the opportunity to denounce it or accept it. If they choose it and accept it, praise God. If they reject it, the word that's been preached stands out as a witness against them that the truth has been declared to them and that they made the decision not to. Then, after he makes that statement, then shall the end come, he goes and starts talking in verse 15. He says, when ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel. Remember what I said earlier on, that the teaching of the end times, the Lord Jesus was not going chronologically, you know, in the year, you know, 1990, this is going to happen, and the year 2000, this is going to happen, and the year 2010, this is going to happen, and the year 2020, this is going to happen, and the year 2030. No, he's going, year 2020, this is going to happen, And in the year 1968, this is going to happen. And in the year 1975, but it's not telling you which year. Are you with me? This puts a monkey wrench on the whole thing, because now the devil doesn't know what time is it going to come. And why is that important? Because Colossians tells us that Jesus Christ, our Lord, died on the cross and paid the price for salvation for all of his creation. Every creation. Now, some people don't like hearing this, but it's the truth. Even for principalities and powers, and those things that are visible and those things which are invisible, which included even the devil. It included even the devil. You and I know the devil is never going to repent, but for God to be God, he had to be a God of love for all of his creation, because he's not going to be accused of not loving all of his creation. Can you imagine, you know, the devil, you know, sliding down there and saying, excuse me, sir. Oh, okay, excuse me. Forgive me for saying, sir, God. This guy, you said he can go in. Yeah, and that one, and that one, and that one. All these people can go in. Yeah. On the basis of what? I know this guy. He was an armed robber. This one cheated on his taxes. This one is a fornicator. This one is a drug addict. Yeah, but they didn't end that way. They repented. And you forgive them. Yeah. On the basis of what? On the basis of the fact that I died for them and I exchanged places with them. You know that. So you paid the price for salvation for them. Yes. Because they sinned. Yes. I have another question, sir. Oh, no, God. Did I sin too? Yeah. You know you sinned. Okay, so what solution did you have for me, God of love? Did you have a solution for me? No, why should I have a solution for you? Oh, then you must not be a God of love. So God paid the price for everyone, so that he cannot be accused of not loving completely. But you have to repent. But the devil will not repent. And that's why he loses out. So God makes sure that the devil doesn't know the day of the end. Because if he knew it, in a split second, he'd say, I repent. And he will slide in. I receive Jesus. Oh, that sly devil. God is more smarter than you. Hallelujah. He says, when you therefore see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place. Whoso readeth, let him understand. Understand. When you see the desolation that's spoken of Daniel. This desolation took place when an emperor took swine, pigs, and sacrificed it in the temple and desolated. Now that happened in the first century, not first century, yeah, first century, I guess that's still good. Okay. And the Lord was saying, basically, when the church is being polluted, when there's pollution and things are being allowed inside the church, inside the body, that is ungodly. Ungodly things have been accepted as normal. Okay. He says, watch out. Watch out. That's a sign. And, you know, when I came to the States in the 70s, there were certain things that were taboo in the church. It was, you know, you didn't think about stuff like that, talk about it, you know. But today, status quo. There are people who are living together, you know, coming to church, living together, sucking face, doing all kinds of crazy stuff, and raising their hands and hallelujah, and it's accepted. The average church, if there's 1,000 people inside our church, there's a good chance in that church there's, you know, at least 1% or 2% of the people in that church that are not married. They're living together, sexing up, and it's okay. Divorce is just as bad in the church, and in some cases worse than in the world. In the church, from the pulpit to the pew, pornography is a problem. Hallelujah, praise God. And we act up and prophesy and speak in tongues and are living in total sin, pollution in the house of God. In the house of God. He says, when ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation, the abomination that brings about desolation to people, destruction to people. He says, Daniel talked about it. Daniel talked about it. Stand in the holy place. He says, you stand in the holy place. Be different. Stand in the holy place. Don't accept it. Governments are right now handing out money to churches. I heard about it. I said, Lord, what is this? He said, don't even touch that thing. I said, I know. I shouldn't be touching it. And I started hearing people, oh, this is what you should do. You know, you can get this money, and then, you know, you can, you know, give the government back their 30,000 and keep your 10,000. Use 10,000 to preach the gospel. I said, something is very fishy. Let me go check the document. I checked the document. I said, lying devils. Right there in the documentation, you are signing off and saying that you cannot preach the gospel. You cannot say anything. You cannot say, you know, it's wrong to live in adultery or homosexuality or whatever, because, that's hate. That's hate. That's hate speech. And anybody can come up today or tomorrow and decide what hate speech is, and now you've signed up and collected their money, they'll shut you down. Because you collected their money and you signed up that you're not going to do hate speech. What I'm saying is not hate speech. I'm preaching the truth of God in love, but you are declaring it that it's hate speech. No, I'm loving God's people and saying, this is what God's word says. If I say to somebody, doing marijuana is not a good thing, you say it's hate speech because you want to collect tax money. Or whatever from it, you can't be doing that. You collected their money. They will send somebody who's practicing whatever lifestyle to your church and say they are applying for a job for whatever reason, and then you're going to say, no, we I don't think so. You know, your lifestyle doesn't match up with what we're looking for here. They will send a pedophile into your church and say, you go apply for that job. And then you're going to say, no, you cannot apply for this job. And say, huh? Who gave you the right? Who gave you? You collected our money. Now you're telling us that he cannot. They will sue you. We collected their money. So the word of God says, stand in the holy place. Don't allow yourself to be defiled by the system. Stand for something. You want to throw you in jail? They throw you in jail. Big deal. Greater men and greater women of God have been in jail before because they stood for something. So, you know, as believers, we need to understand the times. He says, during these end times, there is going to be abominable things happening that bring about desolation, that bring about, you know, confusion. He says, you stand in the holy place. Stand in the holy place. Stand in the holy place. Now, that is relating to the happenings that are going to happen in the 70-80 time period. Because at that time, the temple was going to also be destroyed. It's going to be destroyed. And God was simply warning about the events at that time, and he says to them, when these abominable things begin to happen, he says, then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Take off, hide yourself in the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house, neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. And woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. But pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. So he's referencing those, the events that happened, you know, during that time. But in a stretch format, it's also addressing our time. What is Judea about? Judah represents praise. Judea is a geographical area, and he says, flee to the mountain. What does that mean? It means for us to flee to the mountain from whence our help comes. Look unto the hills, not natural hills, but unto the Lord. That's where your help comes from. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. If you are up there in your work and, you know, in your commitment and relationship with the Lord, as it was with Peter. Remember, Peter was on the housetop when he had the revelation about Cornelius. He's talking about if you're in that place where you are positioned in receiving revelation from God, don't come down. Stay up there. You see that? Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. Don't come down to come take anything here. You are in a different level. Stay up there. Keep on going. It goes on. It says, neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. Who is on the field? The person who is working on the harvest. Don't go and try to start finding, you know, something else to cover yourself or, you know, get connected to natural things. Stay in the harvest field. Be driven by your passion to see souls saved, lives transformed. That's what it's talking about. It says, woe and woe to them that are with child and to them that give suck in those days. Now, that's a strange one because you can understand it in natural what that means. But what it's saying is that during that end times, you don't want to be having baby Christians. people that you have to spoon feed. So if that's the case, I got to give people the real deal. You know, last night I was ministering to some people just around the world, some in India and U.S. and, you know, different parts of the country, or of the world rather, on Zoom, and I'll be doing the same tonight. And, you know, the person hosting, and this happens quite often, people say, you know, the people that are coming to hear the word of God, some of them don't know the Lord, and some of them are baby Christians. So can you please, you know, make it very, very simple? And I keep on telling them, listen, don't tell me what I'm going to say. I'm going to say what God wants to say every time. Let the Holy Spirit do what he's going to do. And every time without fail, after they tell me, oh, please pipe it down a little bit, every time, oh my God, that was so powerful. Oh my God, everybody's, they're all so excited. You mean those people that you wanted me to pipe it down for too? Oh, my phone. Oh. God doesn't want us to pipe down anything. The spirit of people understand the truth of God. If you're preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, they will get it. Every single one of them. Every time. Praise the Lord. It says, don't have babies, and those who are still, you know, sucking. You need to have people who are chewing, you know, the meat and the bone. Everything. They just, oh, the day one, as they're born again, they are on fire for God. That's what God wants to do. Amen? That's exactly what God wants to do. I tell you what, you know, Sunday school is a good thing. I thank God for Sunday school and that level of Christian education and stuff like that. But the church did not start with Sunday school. Everybody sat down there and heard the word of God together, from the youngest to the oldest. And in this last of the last days, I tell you what's going to happen. Families are going to come together and hear the word of God together and be impacted from the very youngest to the oldest. The youngest are going to be preaching the gospel, prophesying, laying hands on the sick, and they recovering because they are fully mature in the Lord God. He fills them with himself. No babies. I'm a baby Christian. You know, it's like, you know, that what people say, I'm a carnal Christian. All those carnal, there are no carnal Christians. And strangely enough, if you don't believe it, there's nothing like a baby Christian. I'm going to get on that. There's nothing like a baby Christian. Mm-mm, it's not in there. And that's what God is saying. But pray that your flight be not in the winter, in the cold, neither on the Sabbath day, on the day of rest. But you are not fleeing when you should be resting in the goodness of God. It says, let me stop there, and I'll pick it up from verse 21 next time. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. We'll pick it up from there. Well, praise the Lord. The Lord is faithful and he's good to us. And I pray that as we continue to explore the word of God together, that certain things are triggered within us so that we know beyond a shadow of a doubt that we are sons and daughters of the Most High God. And that his loving kindness abounds towards us, and that we're greatly enriched because of his grace. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, you see us. You know what we should be like in this end of the end times. And we ask, you know, God, that you help us to be everything you say we should be and be where we should be. And Lord, oh God, that you expose anything that is contrary to your perfect will. So Lord, oh God, that we can personally denounce and reject such things. We cleave unto you, the author and finisher of our faith. We denounce every lie, every deceptive way of the enemy. We stand for truth. We stand for righteousness. We stand for purity. We stand for your goodness. And we say no to every satanic agenda. And we say, mighty man of war, mighty God of war, fight for your people. Shut down the systems of darkness. Yes, the world and its systems may want to come against your people, but Lord, oh God, we are reminded of the fact that when they took you on, in Luke chapter 4 and wanted to push you down the cliff, you just turned around and walked right through and went wherever you wanted to go. The devil had no authority or power over your life except that you laid your life down. May your people, your church, be so activated by the generosity of your power and presence, Lord, oh God, that every single one in the household of faith, Lord, oh God, that Father, not one lives in the atmosphere of fear or concern of any sort, because they know beyond the shadow of a doubt that no power of darkness can touch them. When they came to arrest you, you said to them, "Who do you seek?" And they said they were looking for you. You said, "I am." And they all fell down. All those mighty soldiers fell down. You literally handed yourself over to them because you wanted to fulfill all scripture because of your love for us. Lord, so energize us, God, in this last of the last days, that no power of darkness, whether it be spiritual or physical, financial or relational, not one thing that the enemy can put in play can have any effect on our lives. We are not subject to the forces of this natural world. We are born of your spirit, and they that are born of your spirit overcome the world. We are overcomers, and we stay in our rightful place. We stand in the holy place and declare, "The will of the Lord be done in the earth as it is in heaven." Thank you, Lord, O God, that we are energized by your Spirit to fulfill your divine mandate. In Jesus, our sovereign Lord's name, we call it so done. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. God bless you. Thank God for this time of sharing the word of God together. May the grace of God abound towards you. At this time, we'll honor God with our givings. The information is on your screen. You can send your giving to donation@gloryandpeace.com or info@mikezenoministries.com. You can bring it to the church. But whatever you do, do honor God with your giving. At this time, no one who has faith in God's provision should hold back. I want to declare again today that there will not be any unemployment in this family of God. We denounce any attempt of the enemy to bring that about. Even if God has to make you go work in another dimension, you will have a job and you will, hallelujah, you will be gainfully employed and have a profitable business. I believe that. And because I know that to be true, I know that hardship is not coming your way. No, no, no. God's word is forever true. every mountain shall be leveled. Hallelujah. Every crooked path is going to be made straight. Things must be easier for you. These are the greater days for us, the people of God. If you lock into that grace today, then that will be your testimony. But if you don't lock into it, then I don't know what to tell you. Amen? But honor God in all that you do. And be